Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. And I'd like to say welcome to the panelists. There's three members on right now and then we just got four. So we're all here. We're ready to go. We want to entertain you and make sure that you call in and let us know what you could be thinking too at our number 646-668-8740. I want to say hello to the gentleman. How was your Labor Day?
It was very enjoyable and quiet for me. This is Bruce.
Right.
It was enjoyable for me. This is Don.
Right. I want to start off because I know that today is 9/11, which is in a lot of people's minds, I'm sure, means a lot of different things. And I want to get to that. But before we do, I am not a royalist, so all this press about the Queen dying is, for me, I don't understand why I would have an interest in it. I just don't understand. To me, the royal family and all that is nothing, no more than the Disneyland of England and with the castle and all the people who are considered royal highnesses are, you know, just like Disney and Mickey Mouse to me. That is because, you know, why would I pay somebody a whole bunch of money to say that they're better than me? How would anybody, you know, because you're born, I have to give you thousands and thousands of dollars. You got millions of dollars only because we're giving you money, but yet you won't talk to us or we're not allowed to talk to you or anything. I find that very, very strange. And I guess, you know, royalty has been something that was ahead of everything at one time, but I think democracy and everything has came in and tried to get rid of that because so everybody is normal. That's just my opinion. I want to say I don't have anything against the royal family honoring somebody who passed away. I think that was necessary, but I just don't understand all the things we're getting, like, you know, they are better than us. And I don't understand. What are your thoughts on that? Bruce.
Thanks for calling on me, David. I've been giving that some thought. I've thought for years and recently with the Queen dying that all of what you've said, a lot of people feel that you just said now. But I take a little different take on it. That template has laid on top of it the U.S. way of life and our freedoms and so forth. So there's a lot of us. We don't even pretend to think we want to live like them, but I always try to look at it from the standpoint, I don't even begin to think I know all the pomp, circumstance, history, rituals, all of that, that makes so many English people feel so loyal and so worthy of having them around. I agree with you, David, that in this world, in our world, the American world, that wouldn't last probably more than a half hour or 10 minutes. But there, I would really want to talk to a lot of English people as to why and the history behind it. This is so important to them. You're right. It's a monarchy. They don't have any voting power. They spend a ton of money keeping that ritual going. And you and I and Don and everybody else would know that wouldn't fly very long here. But I'd want to know why that is so valuable to them. And I don't perceive to know even start to know why it's so, and I'd want to know that.
All right, Don, what are your thoughts?
I agree with what both of you gentlemen just said a few moments ago. And if you notice, the younger son and his wife are a good example of the change of them distancing themselves over the past 4 to 5 years from that regime and hierarchy. Now, the thing that gets me is it seems to be years ago that this was a religious thing that was set up to take advantage of countries and possess countries. And when I look at the loyalty of the Caribbean market, they were under the rule of this hierarchy years ago. So it was a land grab to me. And I don't think it would last, and I don't think it's going to last with this new generation coming to it effect.
All right. What about you, Michael? What are your thoughts?
Hey, David, thanks for calling on me. Yeah, I got to agree with everybody on here. It makes no sense to me. I've never understood the monarchy. It just makes no sense, especially when you look at the facts about how, like my man Don was saying, they want to rule the Caribbean nations. Well, they rule a total of 14 colonies right now, 15 other countries that they rule, and they rule them by force. They colonized these nations, so there's blood on their hands. They went into these countries and by force and raped the women and killed the men and just took over the nations by force. Okay, we're talking about a lot of black nations, a lot of countries in Africa where they did this to. A lot of the jewels you see her wearing, like her crown and the diamonds she wears, those are resources she stole from African nations. So just that alone, it makes no sense to me now. So the question is, so why do so many people love that and go for that? I don't really think they do. I think it's just the hierarchy and the people in power. Like, I watch CNN a lot, and on CNN they keep asking, why are we so obsessed with the queens? And I'm like, we're not obsessed with the queens. You guys are obsessed with the queen. I think it's just the hierarchy and the media and the politicians. I think it's just the rich, powerful people in the world who are obsessed with this and continue to prop it up. And like Don was saying, over the last few years, I think ever since really we could just call it the Internet age. I think before the Internet, there was you couldn't really get your voice out. You couldn't really diss the queen in a large populated force. But now with the Internet, everybody's commenting on how stupid the monarchy is and how this makes no total sense. So I think the monarchy is going to fall. I think that's the end. You know, 70 years, I think after her reign is up, I don't think there will be another monarchy moving forward.
Well, you know, they just started the process to start the king, make Charles the king. But anyway, so well, what are your thoughts on the monarchy, on what we're talking about?
So I am kind of in the middle. So Queen Elizabeth is the queen of Belize, and my family is from Belize. That's my father and my sister are from. And for the most part, the queen is revered in a very positive way because it's kind of like a collective thing. The UK all put their money together, and Belize is in part somewhat of an impoverished nation. And because of the efforts of the Queen, she really did do a lot to help the country in terms of monetary funds and other various things. However, a lot of people really, really hate Charles, who's now king, mainly because of his infidelity and cheating on Princess Diana. Now it's like your side chick who was cheating on one of the most beloved people in the world is now the Queen of England, the Queen Consort of England. So I know a lot of people are very dissatisfied with the two of them. A lot of people really just wanted to skip over Charles and Camilla and have it go to Prince William and the Duchess of Cambridge because people like them so much more. And the fact that they don't live a very frivolous, opulent, rich lifestyle is why they wanted it to go to them. But I can agree with a lot of people that it's not going to probably last that much longer because people really hate Charles and Camilla so much, and they love Princess Diana so much more.
But the fact that you said the least, you do realize that the country was killing Africans in Africa and trying to take them to a foreign country and drop them off and sell them, and that's how they got into Belize. And then they took over Belize. They just, you know, decided we're gonna, this is our country now. So I think the fact that the royal family has a history of, you know, poetry and, you know, all the diamonds and stuff that come out of Africa, why don't they stop? But anyway,
well, Belize isn't in Africa; it's in South America.
But they came from Africa with slaves, and they're taking them to America or wherever, and they stopped in these Caribbean countries and took over these Caribbean countries. And they took over the rum trade was one of the things they were facing.
And I don't know the exact history. I know that the royal family has been in charge of Belize indirectly since 1981. Technically, the governor general and the prime minister of Belize have a lot of authority over the country. They really don't do much. But I believe, I don't remember the history exactly. I think it's like in the 1800s. The royal family declared war on Spain, and they took Belize from Spain.
Hey, David, if I may real quick, I wanted to say this also. With the monarchy, what they're doing, like, to piggyback on what Soel just said, that, you know, the people of Belize love them, but as you said, David, they took Belize by force. So to me, it's just cementing white superiority. I mean, it's just African countries and people of Belize who just look at these white people go, oh, they're superior to us. It's okay for her to be our queen. She's superior. And to me, that just cements white superiority to me.
Well, if we're talking about stolen land, I think that the United States should give the Hawaiians their land back. It was a sovereign nation. They had their own queen, the Queen of Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands, and we stole their land from them. And now the native Hawaiians are outpriced by white people who buy up all the land and make resorts and all that kind of stuff.
Anybody else want to jump in? I got comments for that, but go ahead. Anybody?
I'm wondering, this is Bruce. I'll just make a quick comment. I'm wondering if the longevity of the loyalty to the royal family and all their hierarchy extended further just because of their love of Queen Elizabeth and nothing else, the symbol, the way she was. What do you guys think? Do you think it was extended further than it normally would have been? Because as I think Soel said, King Charles and Camilla are not loved like she was. Do you think it was her that kind of extended, now that she's gone, that it might very well be the end?
I'd like to answer that for you, Bruce. I agree 100%. I mean, her long life and the longevity of her life extended the monarchy. As I said before, this new generation is not going to accept that. And you're seeing it with the younger son of Prince Charles. The big question now is, can he and his brother communicate? Can they get along? Because King Charles is not going to live that long, I'm telling you now. And the thing is, I would say within the next 20 years, we're going to see a changing of the guard. Jamaica, a prime example. We're so happy to get their independence, man. I mean, like Mike said, those African countries, they were so happy to get their independence, man. I mean, you just can't go in and kill and take and steal and blundering our women and take our resources and then wear crowns on your head and race horses and raise dogs and count your money. Those days are over.
All right, Darius.
Can I say something?
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Soel.
I can imagine that one by one, a lot of these Commonwealth countries are going to fall because Australia, they have been trying to pull out for years, but they kept staying out of respect for the Queen because a lot of people liked her so much. When she had her health scares every now and then, they were getting ready to pull out because they thought that Charles was going to become king, and they hate him so much. I think that he is one of the only Prince of Wales to not visit Australia on a consistent basis. Their family is really loved, and they would probably still be Emperor of India if they did not give away a lot of property and various things, because what ended up happening is King Edward abdicated to marry the Duchess of Windsor, and then it ended up going to George V and then Queen Elizabeth. They just have a problem with King Charles. If it went to William, I doubt a lot of what's saying in the media would not be happening right now.
All right, Darius, do you have any thoughts on this conversation?
I'm sorry. It's just, I think you guys came in on the tail end of it, but you guys are discussing something that I have absolutely maybe zero knowledge about. So I don't really have anything to contribute to that.
All right.
No problem, Darius.
We're going to write that down. What's the date? Oh, 9/11.
What'd you say, Don?
He had nothing to say.
I said, no problem, brother. You're not missing a thing.
All right, thank you.
All right, gentlemen, let's bring that to a close. I mean, everybody has their opinion on the monarchy and everything. And, of course, I put mine out there first. But let's go to 9/11. Most people, we haven't really made a big issue out of today being 9/11 and what it meant and where we were. I think it was, you know, something that at times, even last year, it was a big to-do. This year, it seems like, you know, it's no one's really talking about it that much. A little bit of news only on the date, not before or anything. So do you think, what are your thoughts on it? Where were you? What were you doing on 9/11, Don?
Oh, David, thanks for calling on me. Man, this was a historical day for me. I'll never forget this day, David. I was in Michigan managing an NBC television station, and all of a sudden we were in the lunchroom, David, and we were watching one of our shows, and all of a sudden breaking news interrupted the television station to say that America had been attacked. Oh my God. I saw a plane go into a building, and then I saw another plane go into a building, and then I saw the Pentagon attack. This was the first time America had been attacked as I can remember, and my forefathers had been privy to. Immediately, we had to cancel all commercials. Immediately, we had to call all clients and tell them that their schedule would not run the entire month. Immediately, we had to have corporate meetings because employees needed to be paid because they weren't receiving commissions anymore. The world changed. This was the first time America had been attacked to this level. And I venture to say that it happened about 20 years ago. And things have a way of repeating themselves every 20 or 40 years. And what bothers me, David, is the same thing that was happening back then 20 years ago, I see remnants of it happening right now. These countries are not afraid to attack America. They've built up their repertoire. They've taken good notes. And we need to be mindful of what we're experiencing in America today. I rest my case.
Right. You're listening to The Man's Voice. Remember, you can call in 646-668-8740 and give us your opinion. Okay, Darius, what are your thoughts on 9/11 and today's date in America and where we are?
Let's see. I remember exactly where I was when it happened, and I just remember being in utter and complete shock that anybody would have the audacity or the nerve or the gumption to attack America on American soil. You know, it's never happened ever. You know, we had Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, but never on the mainland. I remember how people reacted. I think that was the last time this country was unified. I think George Bush at one point had over 80% favorable rating, And there was no Republican, there was no Democrat. Man, we were united as a country, and we understood that we had to stand together and show force and show strength to prevent something like that from happening again. I agree with Don that we have definitely dropped our guards. We are not taking our national security as serious as we once were. Of course, the technology has changed, but we're not protecting our border. And I'm afraid that, you know, something like that may happen, maybe not of that magnitude, but a terrorist event or a terrorist strike might happen again, especially with, like I said, as porous as our border is right now. And maybe that's what it's going to take to bring this country back together again as well. Hopefully it won't take a tragedy like that, but maybe.
Yeah. All right, Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Thanks, David. It begs a number of short questions. Like, I've often wondered since it happened, and I knew exactly where I was too, like so many other people, and when Kennedy was shot and Martin Luther was shot, and I remember all of those. But my little batch of questions is, are we too apathetic, thinking, oh, it's never going to happen here, even though now it's already happened? Well, it won't happen again. Are we, unfortunately, too stupid or too unprepared to prepare, as Darius says, to have enough strength to protect ourselves, or what? So, you know, I go back and forth as, you know, do we think we still have this attitude, well, no one's going to touch us, we're America. We know that's not true anymore, but we seem to, you hear the phrase that people, well, we forget quickly. So I'm always struggling back and forth. Are we not smart enough to prepare and protect ourselves to the level we should, whatever that is, or are we too apathetic and stupid to realize that, you know, this could really happen again? As was just pointed out, we got people coming into our country unknown, unprotected, unidentified. We don't know how many. We don't know where they are. And, you know, that's an airplane of that type landing at an airport and dispersing all over the place to attack us at another time, if you think about it that way. Not hitting a building, but just landing. And, of course, if we knew that, there's no way that would happen. But that's what's happening right now. So I really struggle with, where are we with all that? You know, what attitude do we have?
Yeah, right. Michael, what are your thoughts? Michael, are you there? We must have issues. All right. So, well, I know that this is a long time ago and you're just now getting in college and stuff, but give us some thoughts on what you think about 9/11.
So I remember a little bit about 9/11, not a lot, because I think I was like 3 or 4 when it happened. I remember my mom was freaking out and she picked me up, and I looked out the window and I just saw a whole bunch of people in the street crying and hugging each other. And I didn't know what was going on. And as we went home, there was a whole bunch of cars lined up by the road, and people were just kneeling down and were like praying and all those kinds of stuff. So I do remember a little bit about what happened that day. I obviously know it was a very hard time that our country has gone through, and you know, it's gotten better as the years have gone by, but it's just the fact that, as I forget who said it, but the audacity that someone would try to attack us on American soil, what people went through on those towers, people jumped because it was getting so hot because of the temperature and stuff, and the fact that people jumped from the ground, it's a very traumatic thing, and hopefully we never go through something like that again, but I do remember vaguely what happened that day.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're a young guy, you're in school and everything, and you're young people. Do you feel like something like that could happen again, and it could happen sometime soon? How do you feel about our country and people from the other countries coming to try to, like, China or Asia or Korea or somebody coming in doing something like that. What do you feel about us right now and that kind of episode?
Well, I think it could happen, and I think a lot of people agree that it definitely is possible that it could happen, especially with the military, how it is. We have the lowest recruitment since we've ever seen. They're actually lowering a lot of requirements because I think a lot of Americans are classified as overweight or not fit to serve. So the fact that we don't have a ready available military force, a lot of Americans' confidence in the military and our commander-in-chief is not as strong as it should be considering the Middle East withdrawal. So it's just the fact that there is perceived weakness in America right now. It's definitely possible, but that just comes down to our own personal choices, what we had to do to make ensuring that we elect leaders that are strong and then that they, in fact, know what they're doing. I think that when it comes to electing a president or just someone of that nature, we just need to have someone in there that does know about the military, does know about leadership of that nature, either having people in battle and they are directly supervising or leading them, and that are the type of qualities that we should look for. But just having a strong leader is just definitely a part of it as a deterrent. Because I mark my words, when Trump was president, no one was going to even think about doing something of that nature because he would, like, launch a whole bunch of bombs on them. So it's just about who we elect and what we do as a country.
Hey, David, yeah. If I can I kind of reflect for a moment? Because a lot of us on this call, other than Sewell being 3 years old when this happened, can remember. And I remember so vividly. At this time, David, the economy was doing very well. The prices were not crazy like they are now. Gas, homes. The economy wasn't on steroids like it is now, 20 years ago. And we had fear of countries like Iraq, Iran, and Russia. Those countries are not in the equation of a fear anymore. The biggest fear we have now is China. China sat back over the past 20 years and took great notes as to what happened at 9/11. And they came in and they looked at our land. And you know, land is the most valuable commodity of any country. And when the real estate industry crashed and the big land boom was on in the 08, 06, 07, 08 era, they bought a bunch of land in the United States. All of the foreclosed property, all of the foreclosures, the Chinese owned them. And they bought them in bundles. And the thing is, this last COVID situation originated in China. So we've got a monster at our front door, and it's going to be good just to keep our eyes on them.
Hey, I can agree with you more on that, Don Wiggins, because I live here in California, and I got to be honest, all the property in California is owned by the Chinese. Try renting an apartment in California, you're going to have to call China to speak to your landlord. So I totally agree with that. But in regards to 9/11, David, you called on me and my phone was on mute. I apologize. I think it's time America needs to, we need to get over 9/11. I think we should stop celebrating it every year. I think we should put it past us. Because as long as we commemorate it, Bin Laden continues to win. As long as we always don't bring it up and we want to make it a soft spot in our history, Bin Laden continues to win. I think we should just get over it and just move on. And to Darius's point, I am scared with the illegals coming in. I live in California where there's a lot of tunnels where they bring drugs in through the tunnels from Mexico into San Diego, California. I always say, how long is it before Al-Qaeda links up with some of those drug cartels and decide they want to bring a nuclear bomb through one of those tunnels and try to hit us? So I do think we are very weak right now. I don't agree with Sowell's reasoning as to why we're weak with Sowell. It's not Joe Biden. We have a very strong Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. He's very strong. And if you do anything to us, he's going to drop bombs on you too. So it's not at all Joe Biden the reason we're vulnerable. I just think we're vulnerable as a country because of our arrogance and our immigration status.
All right.
I'd like to add something, too, if I could.
Sure.
To your point, Don, and a little bit to your point, Michael, you get the sense now that China has figured out brick by brick, item by item, however you want to define it, they're going to tear us down. And one brick might be slowly but effectively and surely destroying our youth with the drugs and everything, as you mentioned, Michael. Our security might be another brick. Our attitude towards our own protection, another. The buying of land and then controlling our food source, another.
Amen.
Amen. Perpetuating electrical. I couldn't agree more, gentlemen, that we do need to switch, but it's got to be a gradual transition. But if China says, by the time you guys decide to do what you really need to do, we're going to own every component of the electrical market. So I think China has decided we don't have to fight them at all anymore in a physical sense like we used to. We're just going to take them apart brick by brick while they sleep at the wheel.
You're absolutely right, Bruce. You're absolutely right. And it'll be a cyber attack as well.
Yeah,
like the Trojan horse, like the Trojan horse.
And we're just allowing that. Why do we let them? Is it just because they have the money and we don't? I mean, what are they doing, printing it faster than we can? I don't understand how they have so much money to buy so much influence and so much components of our economy and way of life that we don't stop them. I find that hard to believe. Anybody comment on that?
Hey, Bruce, you know something? If you were to ride in any urban community, I'm going to just say it like this. If you were to ride down Saginaw Street in Flint, what would happen to you in Detroit? Liberty City in Miami, you will see a good picture of what has been decayed in America. We used to own the hair care products and hair care line. Black people used to own this. Soft Sheen, Proline.
Yeah, you don't even.
Et cetera. Now they're owned by the Chinese, Bruce.
Yeah.
Koreans, they own it. And then the liquor stores. They're on every corner. Black people don't own those liquor stores, Bruce.
No,
it's crazy, man.
And
I then now the funeral homes. It's amazing, Bruce. It's amazing.
Well, they have figured out how to interject themselves in every aspect of our life. And the only thing that is keeping it from happening right now or tomorrow is it's a progression. But they're slowly injecting themselves into everything we do, and all of a sudden we're going to wake up one day and this is going to be controlled entirely by China. And that scares me to death.
Bruce, I hate to make it political, but it's the Republican Party that is sanctioning that. And to Don Wiggins' point about in the black community, the Asians own all the liquor stores, that was sanctioned by Ronald Reagan back in the 80s. He created a bank called Hominy Bank that lends money here. You have to be an Asian native to borrow money, but the rule is you have to open up a store in the black community. So the Republicans are kind of in bed with the with Qing and the Communist Party over in China. So I hate to make it political, Bruce, but it really is the Republican Party that's selling us out
to
the Chinese.
And Michael, I would agree with you that unfortunately there's politics involved. But for every example probably leaning to the right, there's probably another one leaning to the left that takes on a different component. Bottom line is China is figuring out how to split us, divide us, conquer us, buy us, tear us down in so many ways. I wonder if we even have a concept of what's going on because, you know, like you've heard people say, you put a frog in a pot of water and slowly turn up the heat, he's cooked before he even knows what happened to him.
Good analogy, buddy.
You know, that concerns me a lot.
All right, let's bring Jeremiah in on this conversation. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on this conversation? Okay, I guess he has no thoughts. Jeremiah, I see you there. All right. Let's move on around the table. I mean, I think this conversation can go on, and we have to just keep an eye on it. Let's bring it up again next week. But let's move around the table. Bruce, what do you want to bring to the table this week?
One of my mantras, and I've ramped it up even more lately, is in my own way, and I think each one of you, I'd like to think you try it as well, is just try to fight all the crap that's going on, in however you want to define that, with kindness. Just whether it's a friend of yours or a stranger or a Republican with a Democrat or a Democrat Republican, any walk of life, any kind of person, I'm doing more and more to just try to be kind to people, do little gestures that people don't expect, because we expect to help each other when there's a disaster, a flood, a fire, a this, a that. But we don't expect people to help us for simple little things. And I can't tell you how many times, it's almost all the time, that people will look at you and go, why are you doing that for me? They appreciate it, but they wonder why. And I think that's a simple little way to make positive impacts that we need right now.
Right. All right.
What do you guys think?
All right, go ahead. Any thoughts on that one, gentlemen?
I guess I'll take it. It's kind of hard to preach kindness when our previous president, who you support, Bruce, was the biggest insult to the biggest bully, the biggest creep in American history. So it's kind of hard to say, hey, we want kindness, when you stood strong behind Donald Trump, who doesn't have a kind bone in his body. So it's just kind of hypocritical to me a little bit.
Michael, you're missing the point. Why can't you be kind to someone that you feel thinks exactly like you? I didn't make it that it had to be somebody, a total opposite of you. We just don't have enough people being kind to each other. We need more of that. And it's got nothing to do what your political persuasion is.
Do you agree, Donald Trump, you should say that to him? You agree he wasn't kind in any way whatsoever?
No, I wouldn't say that. You're making it an absolute. I would never say that any more than I would say you're an absolute far left never to change. I wouldn't believe that either. You might, but I don't. So there's no absolute. Has he done a number of things as all other presidents have done wrong? Sure he has. We've gone over that to ad nauseum. But I'm just making the point, person to person, divorced from politics, we need more kindness by simple actions in this country right now. We are hungry for that. And we're too involved in ourselves instead of helping each other. And I don't care what per se. I don't ask somebody when I come up and do something for somebody, are you a Democrat or Republican? I don't ask them that. I don't even think that. Do you? Do you, Michael?
Yeah, I do. I sure do.
Do you really? Wow.
Hey, Bruce, you know something? The political belief in a person wasn't as reverent as it is or has become over the past, right after the election of Barack Obama. And when that happened, the division among Republicans, Democrats intensified like never before. Because you had a man saying that I'll never let another man get another term. I'll do everything I can to change the system. Followed by another man that said, if I wanted to take over a party, I'd take over the Republican Party because they're so stupid and vulnerable. So over the past two presidential reigns, we've seen the political climate intensify like never before. Prior to that, Bruce, we lived in a society of love And you know that because we came from the hippie generation, and we loved each other, man. We could talk to each other. We could get along with each other. Political affiliation wasn't that big of an issue. Now it's a major issue. And when you talk about a man's voice, that's the number one topic that we have even in our discussions. So
how long will it last, Bruce? But, Don, is it a reason not to try and change it? I don't believe that for a minute. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just saying using that as an excuse, Bruce, doesn't solve the problem.
Bruce, I wasn't making an excuse. How do we go about changing it is what I'm asking you.
Simple little things at a time. And I know you guys laugh at that sometimes when I say that. But I'm telling you, it works. And I don't understand people that say, well, you know, that won't work. That won't make a difference. It will make a difference. And if we don't get out of this rut, the people that will fill it will be China. And we won't like that at all. You want to talk about not having any rights left, right, or in between. They take over and we become something in their image. You won't have hardly any rights at all. And you know that.
All right.
How do we make America? How do we make America better? How do we make it better?
That's a good question.
That's what I'm looking for. How do we make America better?
Well, here's a question about that I want to throw out on the table, that it seems like 62% of Americans believe that our political system is wrong and that our politicians are way too old to make the right decisions on things coming up in the future. What are your thoughts on that one, Bruce?
Age, to some extent, has a factor in it. Yes, I agree with that. But not age for age's sake. I've kind of been a proponent to a more and more degree of having term limits. So we get people out, they go back to whatever they were doing before, and we get new blood, whatever age, class, character they are, but we get a rotation in and out, which I think was the perception of how it should have worked from the beginning, and to some extent it did, but as Don said, and some of you other think, it's become a social country club that nobody wants to leave anymore. Maximum benefits, set your own salaries, and the importance is staying in office, not doing the right thing. I'd much rather have a term limit where you come in, make your mark, solve a problem, fix something, stand for something, and then leave it for someone else to come in. And the more this goes on, Don, the more I think that's the right way to go.
Hey, David, you know, you asked a very powerful question a few moments ago. Term limits and age both are a major factor. How can a person on minimum wage or making $100,000 a year go into office, a convenient occupation, and leave out a millionaire?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on this? Do you believe that most of the politicians are way too old?
No, I don't believe that. We have a lot of old ones in there, but I don't think that's the issue because those politicians seem to be well in tune with the times, and they adjust their policies based on the polling and based on where the finger of America is at that particular time. You know, case in point, you look at the Democratic Party. You know, if you had Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden say some of the things they say today and played a tape of them saying something 20 years ago, I think they were running against themselves. So I don't think that age has anything to do with it. Now, it does have a lot to do with them creating and generating generational wealth for themselves the longer they stay in there. But
I just also want to talk about this divide. I don't know what Don was thinking when he thought that it happened after Barack Obama, but I remember Barack Obama sicking the IRS on people who were campaigning or people who tried to create PACs for President Trump, whoever was his political opponents. So he sicked the IRS after them. I also remember him sicking the Department of Justice to spy on Trump's campaign. So I don't know where the love was, Don, but I also remember Michael talking about Joe Biden being loving or Donald Trump not being loving, but I don't think those people who were falling off the planes on the runways in Afghanistan would agree with you, Michael. And I don't think those 13 U.S. military people that got killed in Afghanistan would agree with you. I certainly don't think that the people who are dying coming across the border and who are being raped would agree with you. And I definitely don't think the people who are dying from drug overdoses with fentanyl that's coming across the border that Joe Biden allows to come across. I don't think any of those people would agree that Joe Biden is a kind soul. Donald Trump did none of those things. If you want to take some angry tweets and compare it to people dying, being raped, dying from drug overdose, countries being pillaged, our allies being killed, being left behind after helping us, if you want to compare some angry tweets to that, then I'll take the angry tweets any day, and I'm sure those people would too.
Darius, I don't know where you were when Ronald Reagan released cocaine and heroin and crack cocaine to subsidize a war, and
okay,
it was directly aimed at the black community. Where were you at?
Okay, Don, I'm glad you brought that up because this is something that black people continue to misconstrue. What Ronald Reagan did was totally wrong. But what happened as far as the cocaine epidemic in the black community, and Michael knows this because he knows what happened in California and Oakland where the crack cocaine epidemic started. Ronald Reagan was you're right, it was alleged that he was selling selling narcotics or buying to fund the war. But at that time cocaine was considered a drug for yuppies. Black people weren't doing cocaine. So it was never intended to be a drug that ran rampant in the black community. It was intended to be for the college kids, for the Wall Street people, for the yuppies, the executives, because those were the people who did cocaine. It was black people that took cocaine and turned it into crack. Ronald Reagan wasn't, or the people at that time that were selling cocaine didn't even know what crack was. Black people invented crack, and black people spread it in their community. So it's wrong on both sides, but let's get our facts together now. It wasn't Ronald Reagan that did that.
Okay,
well,
Darius, I got to
look
at that.
Michael,
I got to push back, Darius, because I'll be quick, Brother Wiggins, I promise, but I got to push back on that because I have a personal, you're right, it started right here in California. I sat down, and I'll send you the interview, Darius. I sat down and interviewed the godfather of the crack era, whose name is Freeway Ricky Ross. I sat down and had a conversation with Freeway Ricky Ross. And Freeway Ricky Ross, for those of you who don't know, he's the godfather of the crack epidemic. He was getting those kilos of cocaine directly from Oliver North, who was Ronald Reagan's boy, Ronald Reagan's right-hand man. And just to break it all the way down, you're right, cocaine was a white man's drug at one point. Kilos of cocaine back then were $25,000. Rick Ross, Freeway Ricky Ross, was getting them for $10,000, way below market value, directly from Ronald Reagan, so that he could flood the black community. And he was taught by Oliver North and a bunch of CIA members how to convert it from powder cocaine into hard rock crack cocaine in order to sell it in the black community. So you're absolutely wrong, Darius. They specifically targeted the black community with the crack cocaine epidemic. Ronald Reagan and his administration did.
Well then,
furthermore, I'm going to let you respond. And furthermore, I got a real problem with the president of the United States being the cocaine dealer to finance a war. And black people have a tendency to want to be like people that are in the upper class. It wasn't surprising. Come on, man.
Don, I'm not saying either one was right. what I'm saying to you is it was not intended. Freeway Ricky Voss said in his own book himself, well, it wasn't an authorized autobiography, but that they came up with the idea of how to sell crack cocaine to the black community. They came up with how to turn cocaine into a rock. It wasn't the Reagan administration. But this is the thing that I have a problem with, guys. Don't get me wrong. I agree that what our country did with the cocaine, using that to fund the war, is totally immoral. It's totally wrong. But we as a people have a problem with acceptance of personal responsibility. And so we want to always find a way for whatever our immorality is, immorality, we want to find a way to blame it on the government or the white man. We need to accept the responsibility for our actions. And the reason crack cocaine ran rampant in the black communities is because black people were responsible for it. That's why. And you can
Darius,
say that,
listen to what you just said. You said, yes, white man and the government brought the cocaine in, but we as black people, we need to accept responsibility. How about the white man and the government accept responsibility for bringing it in, Darius?
I just said that it was wrong. But guess what? You can put a kilo of cocaine in my car right now. I'm not going to break it down and sell it and become a drug dealer. That responsibility falls on me. Is the person wrong who gave it to me? Absolutely, yes. But it's my responsibility to decide what I'm going to do with that. And that's what I'm talking about. And it's like,
well,
also like
you know,
what you said about the it's, hold on, let me finish. It's also like what you said about the liquor stores. Okay, what happened with the liquor stores in our community is the government was giving grants to those people not just to open liquor stores but to open businesses in underserved communities. And that's why the government gave those people those loans. Now, they decided that this is what black people like. They like liquor. They like hair supply products. And so that's why they opened those stores there to do that. But you're seeing that a lot of them are leaving now because the crime is so bad, and you see a lot of other stores pulling out. That falls on black people. That doesn't fall on the Chinese or the Koreans or the U.S. government. That falls on us. We have to at some point, guys, as a people, and we have to teach our kids that you got to stand up and be held accountable for your actions. And black people, as long as we keep blaming the white man and the government, we'll never get out of this rut.
There is, and you know something? When you know better, you do better. But historically, we as a group of people have always wanted to be like them, never had the opportunity economically to be entrepreneurs, never had opportunity to do better. But when you know better, you do better. And I pray
Darius,
to God.
I gotta push hard on you, Darius. You're blaming the victim, my brother. You're blaming, if a female gets raped, you're telling her, well, that's what you get. You shouldn't have those short pants on. You got to take responsibility for yourself. That's what you're doing,
yeah.
Darius. You're blaming the victim, and you're not blaming the person responsible. The government is responsible for cocaine in our community. The government is responsible for liquor stores in our community. Why won't you blame them? Why are you blaming the victim?
Mike,
when you know
better, same thing,
you do
my
better,
brother.
Darius.
It's not the
when
same
you know
thing,
better,
Don.
You
if
better.
I, okay, so Don, if you opened up your trunk tomorrow morning, and you have 10 kilos in your trunk, and 10 Uzis, are you going to become a drug lord in Miami?
Can I answer that for you?
I'm asking you. Yes, sir. You can definitely answer it.
No, I will not, Darius, because it almost
that's my
killed
point,
me.
That's my point exactly.
Hold on
Don.
A second.
That's
do you
my
hear
point
what
exactly.
I just said
but
to you?
Everybody's not the same. Everybody
no,
doesn't have the same situation
said.
Going on at one time.
Darius.
But it's still,
when
it's
you
still
know
a
better,
it's a
you
personal
do better.
Choice. But it's a personal choice, Don. Come on, guys. You guys are the that kind of mentality right there is the reason why the black community is where it is, because we constantly make excuses for our bad choices, our poor choices. You want to blame
Darius,
the government.
I'm not,
you don't want to look at yourself.
I'm not talking about Darius.
Let me ask you a quick question, Darius. If a young man was 16 years old versus a young man being 34 years old, what decisions you think that young man might make, or either or?
Ooh, that's good.
You think they're going to be the same?
Of course not. Your experiences are based on your life experiences, but it's also based on your upbringing. So a person who is 16, who's raised properly or who has proper values or ideals instilled in them, would make different choices than someone who wasn't. Absolutely.
And I
but
like
that
example.
Still doesn't mean
right?
you don't have a
Wait,
personal
Wait, hold on.
A personal
Wait, hold on. I like that example, right? But what about when your stomach is so empty deep down inside, you haven't had nothing to eat properly in 3 or 4 days? What kind of decision would you make at that point? Would you make the right decision or the wrong decision?
I'm still going to make
versus,
the right decision. And I have been.
Else.
I have been. Yeah, but you're asking me what would I do? You're asking me what would I do? I don't care how hungry I am. I'm not going to go and rob somebody.
We're not talking about robbing. We're saying you just gave an example of drugs and guns being in the back of a trunk. So it's either you find a way to provide or you stay hungry, whether it's making a right decision or the wrong decision. We got
to
think about
it. And to add to that, that's a very good point. What if the government took my food from me and I couldn't eat, but then the same government gave me a kilo of cocaine and said, hey, go sell this so you can get some food to eat? Of course the 16-year-old kid is going to go sell the kilo of cocaine to get food to eat that the government took from him.
And we got a bunch of different things that we have to compare. Mental capacity, mental illness, that's one. Age. That's two.
Social
wage
economic.
At that time.
It's a false dichotomy, guys. It really is. It's still
you know what
a matter
saying?
Of personal
so there's,
choice.
I understand it's, that we could stand up here today and say we probably make the best decision for ourselves, everyone on this panel. But we got to think about the age and all the other factors that I gave for those people back in the days.
Amen.
And that is that type of thinking and that type of logic is why the black community is suffering today, because we have excuses for why we make bad choices.
I totally disagree with your statement.
Darius, you amaze me. You know I love you, brother, but you just amaze me how it's never anyone's fault, but it's our fault. It's never the government's fault in the history of what's happened to us. I bet you look at Tulsa, Oklahoma, and go, well, it's their fault. They probably should have opened those businesses up somewhere else. It's their fault their businesses got destroyed by the government. You always make excuses for the government, but you always lay the blame on the victim when the victim is people of color, Darius.
That's a ridiculous.
The government gave them the right
to
bear arms.
Talking about.
You know?
That's
can I pop in a
argument.
Little bit here, gentlemen?
Please, Bruce.
From an old white guy, which you always
guy.
Like
oh,
to
really?
Hear, so you can take pot shots at me. what I don't understand in all this dialogue, you guys have not recognized that there are a lot of people of various colors and attitudes and incomes that don't make a choice between right and wrong being drugs. They will find a way to get some money in a positive way. They will get a part-time job. God knows there's plenty of those around, and they will pull themselves up in a responsible way. You make it sound like the only two choices they have is to do what Darius is trying to tell you, which I agree with, or do drugs. That's crazy. There's far more people of all kinds of attitudes and environments that make good choices and pull themselves out of poverty out of the situation they're in. You don't say a word about that. It's always about drugs, and that's, I would venture to say, most people don't make the drug decision.
Well, that's
hey,
not true, Bruce.
You know,
in the black community, which
jobs,
you don't know anything about because you didn't grow
business.
Up there, I know
we
all about it because I grew
business.
Up there. We only have two choices in the black community. We either sell drugs or we play sports or go into the entertainment business. Those are the only two options in the black community to get out of the black community, Bruce.
I don't
Bruce,
believe that
don't
for a minute. I can show you examples. I can
question.
Show you examples, Michael, where that is totally false. In the ghettos of Detroit, and they don't get much worse than that. So don't feed
okay.
that line
Bruce,
to me that
you,
that's your only choice.
When was the last
Bruce,
time you went on Wilson Avenue?
American successful people that are not in the entertainment business. I challenge you to that one, Bruce.
You challenged him to walk the streets.
Hey,
Bruce, where's Black Bottom at? Where's Black Bottom at, Bruce? Where's Black Bottom at?
Wait a minute, gentlemen. All right.
Yeah. Well, I could have answered that, Don.
Excuse me, let me in, please. There's only 30 seconds left in the show. I'm going to take everyone for
now,
tons of people out here.
Sorry for lighting a fuse.
Yeah, but next time, give us a call at 646-668-8. You've been listening to The Man's Voice. We will be back again next week, same time, with just as much discussion. Have a great week, guys.
I love you guys, even though you don't believe
it. How about
it?
Those Kings? How about those Kings, baby? How about them Dolphins? How about them
Go Wolverines? Go Wolverines. Go Blue.
I think you guys need some more time.
Yeah, we need another hour.